Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice of the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Brought to you by Grow Generation. Today's episode of The Cantina is, whether on Dagobah or Tatooine you are, everything you need to grow right where you are, they have. Later in the episode, more on them you will hear.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of the Cantina, the Star Wars podcast here at LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network. The guys at the beginning told you exactly what we're here to do, who's sponsoring the show, Grow Generation. Thank you guys so much. LRMonline.com, Genreverse.com, every day for all your entertainment news needs and opinions. Genreverse right now leads to LRM, but we're building our landing pages for the podcast side, and those things will hit soon. Social media information, all that stuff's down below. You guys are podcast fans. You know how to do this stuff. I am Kyle Malone, joined as usual by my co-host, the co-captain of this flying booze vessel, Cam Clark. What's up, bud?
Hello there.
You know, I almost used the Kenobi beard as the basis, but then I found a picture that kind of fit the more fuller look that I wanted, so right. I got that. I got a haircut, I got beard trim. The hair's not styled, it's kind of just messy and hanging out of my headphones right now, but I gotta get some product and learn how to.
I did think you were kind of going back to the 70s.
What was that?
At one point I thought you were going back to the 70s. Uh-oh. There and going for the hippie look for a while.
I really truly didn't want my beard to be that long and that scraggly. I didn't want my hair to be that long and just
happened something.
Yeah, it was hard to
lockdown
find someone
that,
to do beards.
A lot of people, I think my hair certainly got. I mean, well, it was for a while you couldn't get a haircut, so you know my hair got ridiculously long, as did my beard, and my wife thought I looked like someone at the Bee Gees.
That's hilarious.
So, it's a bit, you know, better now.
Yeah, I would love to actually bring up a story that you had shared specifically dealing with books, and it's funny because the wording that they used for it is kind of weird in my mind, because they said some more essential titles, which I thought meant like the Essentials Collection, but no,
the
Essential EU,
what they've
books,
been doing recently,
the
is
re-releases,
the best EU books, and been re-releasing. No, this is definitely
no. This is
new.
Just brand new. It's called Essential Star Wars Stories Are Coming to Our Galaxy, and this is from StarWars.com. I think they're a relatively reliable Star Wars source.
Yeah, maybe. It does list it as an exclusive. I don't think I'd even call this one a Barsaid.
No. So they say StarWars.com thrilled to reveal four new books featuring never before told tales from across the Star Wars saga. Mm-hmm. They mention Shadow of the Sith, Brotherhood, Stories of Jedi and Sith, and Star Wars Padawan. Now, these are all set across different eras. There's some Clone Wars from Brotherhood, things set after Return of the Jedi with Shadow of the Sith. Shadow of the Empire? Huh? Anyone? Anyone?
well, Shadow of the Sith could be something completely different
they're invoking the name though, just like Heir to
Jedi. It's like that classic title that he is, you know.
Yeah,
so
no.
Let's check 1,000 fantasy franchises, yeah. And one of the books will probably be called Shadow of the Something.
Yeah, you know, yeah, but
like, Shadow of the North, like Shadow of the Dark, you know, blah 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 blah.
But you can't deny that one of those first books for the new canon back in 2015 or whatever, 2014, 2015 was Heir to the Jedi. Like they 100% picked that because of Heir to the Empire being that first big. I know there was Splinter and whatnot, but the first successful EU.
Didn't get released at first, though, remember. Yeah. It was written much earlier, but they didn't release it because it obviously didn't follow canon at that point because it was pre-Empire Strikes Back. So it didn't really follow any of the canon. Mm-hmm. So that I don't think that was ever released till much, much later. And
I don't know what year it was.
Now, I mean, I don't know if you've ever read Splinter of the Mind's Eye. I have. And, you know, it doesn't quite fit. You can tell it was written post-Star Wars and pre-Empire, you know, the writer that's seen it, because there's just a lot of that world building's just not there yet. But hey-ho, you know.
It says it was first published by Del Rey in 78.
It was published in 78. There you go.
That's what they say.
Did they stop it then? Or like, Wikipedia's not the best. Printing it and then re-release it again? Because I'm sure when I picked it up and read it for the first time was, you know, we're talking, there was EU books out already at this point, and I remember it clearly stating on it that, you know, it was written at a time, you know, when it didn't fit the canon or anything
there
like that.
There may have been some...
So I don't know if they did a re-release or something. Yeah, there was... For it at that point.
There was 78 multiple releases, hard and softback. In 78, 81, there was another printing, 86, another printing, and 2011. So my guess is 81, probably 86, that reprinting maybe came with the...
That's probably the one I'm kind of thinking about, given the kind of timelines of when I started Star Wars books. Yeah.
Here's some of the covers. I don't know if you are able to actually see the screen or not. These are...
I can see the screen. But
yeah. These are some of the... Like, I remember this cover. Like, these are the ones that I have in my mind when I think of, like, the library and seeing the book.
Me too.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's where I picked it up at one of these kind of... Oh, I don't know if you have them, but we used to have these things before digital age, mobile libraries that would drive around.
Yeah.
So for people who couldn't get to libraries, and you would come around and you went in and you rented a book out. And then the next time the truck come back, you would take it back and exchange it for another one. So where I read all the Star Wars books.
Yeah, we have those bookmobiles. And we also have like a little small like libraries. It's basically like a newsstand, but it's just a thing of full of books. Take one and leave one, and it's an honors system, but it's pretty cool. I like that books
are
available.
Who wants to steal books? You know,
So,
once you've read a book, most of the time you just want somewhere else you can pass it along to, don't you? You know, unless it's one of your particular favorites or something.
Yeah. So I'll say the other ones, we kind of got off on a tangent there with the,
as always,
with the titling. But they go back to the prequel trilogy with some stuff dealing with both Anakin and in the Clone Wars, and one with Obi-Wan as a student to Qui-Gon with that last Star Wars.
Could be interesting.
Padawan. It could be, like, a lot of these all sound interesting. Like, I would love to know more about the canon of Luke in post-Return of the Jedi. But, dude, you and I both know that 99.9% chance none of these books fucking matter and nothing of consequence
will
happen.
I think not necessarily in the ones that are set, like, for example, the Obi-Wan Padawan one, because that's not really an opportunity for a series at any point down the line. But I think if it comes to post-Return of the Jedi Luke, there is opportunity there, and therefore they don't want to kind of tie themselves into that if later on that they're going to, and we've heard rumours about that they want to do something with Luke and Grogu going forward. We've debated ourselves before about whether that should be animated or live action, and the the kind of trade-offs that you'd be making either way on that. But, you know, that seems like it's still a potentially fertile ground for them to make a show out of. And I think in that respect, I agree with you then about if Luke's going to get involved, I don't think it would be a book of great significance. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the only thing that sucks for these books, because that's been why the aftermath was or whichever ones were leading us to Force Awakens. Those were so I remember reading, and they were like, we're gonna tell you exactly how we get to the Force Awakens by the time we get there. And I'm like, no, you guys didn't explain jack shit. And then they're like, okay, well, these comics and this stuff that's going to come before the Last Jedi, that'll give you guys a lot of filler. No, you guys still didn't do jack fucking shit. But
we know now the reasons behind that is because at that time they genuinely
they still didn't know what they were going to do with the fucking movies.
So how can you then write a prequel which pins you into a corner.
Yeah, but they've stuck with it as far as I can.
Situation they went wrong.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know because they haven't been doing it. I mean, other than the High Republic books, that's been the piece at the moment. And it kind of can do its own thing because it's set so many hundred years before. They don't really have to worry about too much canon at this point. So they kind of can go wherever they want and go as grand as they want. But I think we're assuming things will be the same as what they've been, and maybe that's a new turn in a different direction. And certainly some of those books are at the point where, you know, we wouldn't necessarily, they wouldn't be, what's the word I'm looking for, taking away opportunities for them to make more money by making a show out of it, if you like. The only one that I could see that potentially with is Luke, but they haven't, did they say in it, you know, they say potentially books will look in them, but did they give an era or what period of Luke?
Yeah.
Say that in it?
Well, it's just Luke and Lando after Return of the Jedi finds Lando on a mission to locate Exegol.
Okay, so that could be them genuinely trying to link into the sequel trilogy, like, you know, and really kind of properly connect it up where we're looking Lando there. You know, we know Lando lost his kid and all that at some point, as much as I might not like those sequels, they are canon, and I always have to remember that going forward. So, you know, that could link into the potential Lando series that come in. Like, we've discussed this before, how if
notice
it was
there
old
hasn't
Aunt,
been a lot
Lando talking
to
his daughter. Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of that reason is I don't think they have Donald Glover locked down and agreed for it yet. I mean, he's pretty busy. So when are they going to make it? And I don't think they can do a whole series using Billy Dee Williams. He's too old for that now, you know. I mean, but what, as we have said, is what would be a great kind of bookend if it was Billy Dee, which can all be done in one studio, you know, sitting talking to his daughter, finding out that they are related and telling them about some of the stories that used to have. And then we flash back to the Donald Glover version who gets
to do the actual,
who's the main adventure star of the show, if you like, and gets to do most of the stuff. But before they can really get that up and running, I suppose they have to get Donald Glover locked down or decide what they're going to do on that. So they've announced it, but we've heard nothing about it. But unlike Rangers of the New Republic, which they then came out and clarified it's no longer in development, they haven't said anything at all about Lando. So we must assume, until told otherwise, that it's still on at some point.
Yeah,
it just seems to be the furthest out of the Disney Plus stuff that they've announced so far, I would guess.
My guess is as well. One thing that you kind of brought up when you were saying about these books and the consequences they could have, do you notice after people can argue with me all they want on their personal feelings, the sales and the internet reactions speak for themselves of the High Republic, it's been lackluster. to say
I've spoke to people online about this.
People like it.
People have turned but it and didn't said, what sell. Are you talking about? You're absolutely insane. But, I mean, I'm not seeing a massive success there when I look at it. Just because there's a group of people that are
that love it.
That love it, that's fine. That's a cult following. But I don't think it's something that has grabbed the attention of the wider Star Wars fan base, which is a very, very big fan base, let's face it. But then even the EU didn't grab the entire Star Wars fan base in it. Was
some people hate
mostly
it.
Decent. Well, there was so much of it. You know my feelings. There was good, but to me, eventually, things started to take a bad turn with certain writers, and it all just got a bit messy towards the end for me. And power creep became an issue because everybody wanted their own,
They wanted their own Super Saiyan Jedi moment.
It wasn't really, approving all these. I think it was just running on its own, if you like. I'm not a massive fan of the EU. I would never go back and say, yes, they should just film all the old EU stuff or anything like that. I think I like what they are doing is taking, taking elements of it, but constructing it in their own way in a more kind of positive, a more controlled fashion. However, that's now, to begin with, when they wrote those sequel trilogies, they didn't really do that. There might be some elements we've talked about before that they did copy for those sequels, but
harvested some story elements and character traits for certain.
They could have actually stolen a little bit more and probably
should have
made some,
and they are now
movies as a and result. Yeah,
that's kind of what I wanted to ask you with it is dude, do you think they're because the High Republic was lackluster, and again that is despite how many. It doesn't matter how many of you love it. It matters how many are actually reading it.
Yep.
So that's what I'm getting at. And I've looked at the
does it make
sales
enough
charts
money based on what they expect it to make.
No. No.
And
you notice they stop pushing it. They stop supporting the new books as much as they
did. They're not spending as much in market.
No.
They're not.
So with that and besides the comics, you haven't even seen a lot of novels taking place with classic characters or prequel characters. Even do you think that the success of the Essentials line, the Essential EU line, Essentials Legend, that's what it's called, Legend Essentials or whatever EU releases, do you think those successes are leading to this type of stuff with these characters?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems to make better business sense to me. They're looking at this and saying, okay,
who could have called that?
When you are creating a product, you should be reacting to what the fans are liking, so you should be looking at what is selling well and saying, hey, we need to do more of this. That's true of sort of any comic book. If you write a comic book and no one likes it and it's not selling, back in the day, Marvel would say, okay, let's move somewhere else. Oh, everybody likes Spider-Man. Let's make more Spider-Man, So you have to react to it. It's a business at the end of the day, and the business is what sells more. So I think there absolutely is that. But I wonder what I don't think they should do, and I don't think they will do this, is stop doing the High Republic.
No,
because they need to push these things, and they have got a fan base, and they need to be true to that
fan
base
as well.
And we need
new original stuff and new creations.
And who knows, it could get better as well.
Yeah,
now,
but
I think hopefully if they do books that will sell more because they have that connection to the larger Star Wars fan base, it kind of finances the more riskier stuff, if you like, as well.
That's true. Because you can afford
tons of writers out there.
You can afford more bumps in the road if you've got a steady stream of print money, not printing money, but money from your print business.
How much money do you expect to generate from that side of the business?
So you could take more risks. And that was always my thing. I always looked at them like, why are you guys leaving that money on the table? I always said it was the dumbest thing in the world to cut the EU like they did. And they have slowly, softly walked it back.
In a few have not said it yet, but...
Right, all without adding new stories to it, basically.
This is kind of like them... This testing is the new EU. They are creating EU. And there's still going to be some of those classics there, but they can't be canon anymore. Mm-hmm. So they're looking to actually create a new EU. And there is still a desire for people to read stories because they're dead now in the universe, you know, about Han and Luke and, well, Lando's not dead, but, you know.
Right.
Adam, but you know what I mean, the main four, if you like, they're, you know, three of them are dead canon wise now. Obviously we know Carrie's passed away in real life as well, but that's kind of irrespective to this discussion. The characters themselves are no longer there anymore, so there is still going to be an appetite, and The Mandalorian tells you that alone. Look at how, you know, look at all those videos of people just going off their head when Luke shows up in The Mandalorian, and that tells you There's the money. That's the money shot, Disney. See that money? Reach in with your hands and grab that and pull it out. How do you make more money off it?
You and I have been saying this shit. More
stuff. Well, oh, my God. Skywalker, the most popular character in the Star Wars universe. And we don't know what happened in most of his life.
Mm-mm. Nope.
So tell
us. It's almost like Jesus. We meet Jesus in the Bible, and this is, you know, we're just talking about it in
story, right?
Exactly. We meet him as a young child, and then skip.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, we meet him as a young adult, and then skip.
Yeah.
And then he sacrifices himself, much like Jesus.
Disney should do that. Maybe they should write Jesus the Young Years. Would that work?
I love it.
Better. Jesus the Wonder Years. So it's basically the Wonder Years, but it's about Jesus set back in his early days.
Copyright John Reverse Cantina Kyle and Cam.
I don't think you can actually copyright ideas to do with Jesus, do you? I think they can make anything.
I don't know. Is Jesus Christ Superstar?
I mean, that specific story, the songs, yes, they're all copyrighted. But what about Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter, the comic? If I want to, a specific comic with a certain theme, that would be, yeah. And if we had a show together, but, you know, ultimately us make not what happened to Jesus in the early days. I think the ideas I would have for that show would be very different from the ideas that you would have for that show. Anyway.
they would both come together and be incredibly funny, though. That's for certain. I've got a good... I'm not stuck up about my faith like some people, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing to be stuck up
you should
about
be able
it.
To laugh at anything.
You should be able to laugh at things like Cam said exactly. So we're gonna laugh at this god awful segue to our sponsors over at Grow
Not that our sponsors are god
No,
awful,
just
but
the segue was just atrocious. Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation offers the best deals and discounts on the best grow products on the market. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow. Oh, man. All right, thank you guys so much for sponsoring our show, the amazing people over at Grow Generation, where the pros do go to grow. Cam, we kind of got some potential news on the release of a big show. Everyone's been
Super excited,
something called what's that
little show we call
Kenobi.
Yeah, that's it.
Kenobi. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah,
you know, it's worth just mentioning how much this one, I think, means to the fan base. This is the one that when it's I see people, deal. You know, people want to see Andor. People want to see Mandalorian Season 3. They want to see the Book of Boba Fett. I'm not saying they're not popular, but this is Obi-Wan. So, you know, it is a huge deal. So, yeah, the people at...
Well, Mason, you mean?
Yeah. Well, I was going to... Jordan Mason, who has definitely got an inside track into Lucasfilm, because let's just, if you trust that we do and that our information's been genuine, we can then verify a lot of the stuff that he comes up with and vice versa. And sometimes we have a little back and forth with some things that we think, you know, that they were not allowed to talk about as well. You know, put it this way, we have a lot of faith that Jordan definitely does have connections within Lucasfilm. And he's heard that the kind of aim is for Obi-Wan to release in May. Now, that's kind of what our guess was anyway, wasn't it, Kyle? Or that's what we thought, I think the three of us, you, I, and Mike, kind of thought Obi-Wan would come before Andor.
Yeah.
But the fan base was still kind of like, will it or will it be Andor first? Because it started, but, you know, we have to remember that Andor is a 12-episode season one. Obi-Wan's only, what, 6 episodes, I think? Or is it 8?
I don't know. Like that. I think it's
maybe we don't know for certain, but it's not 12, put it that way. You know, it actually does, given that it was mostly filmed using the volume, whereas Andor was location. We've talked about all this before, and that was our reason why we thought 6. Obi-Wan would end up releasing before Andor.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. I mean, Mike guessed that May the 4th, you know, everything that comes out of that, it would be a great time for Obi-Wan to be on air.
The first episode, you know, to drop with, like, I mean, celebration or something.
That would be great, something or... like that. Like,
he was trying to, you know, like, really think make about a where big things deal could connect. And,
you know, yeah. they have to do that. They have to really promote this heavily because they know the fans want it, and it just would make a lot of sense for it to come in May. But, you know, if Jordan's hearing that that's a plan, then I'll go with that as well. Yep. What I would say, though, is, and I'm sure Jordan Mason would agree with us, is that things can change with release dates. We have seen that already. And if this
trailer, I think, was... because it was a while ago, and I'm sorry, I don't want to lose the thought. Mike had said he was trying to think about
trailer at Celebration.
No, he was trying to think out of, like, the logical points of where Disney could announce things. And there was a trailer, maybe it was like the Mando trailer that he thought might drop. But I don't remember the conversation. So no one quote Mike as saying anything in particular.
That was what I would say is we were all just guessing at that point. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like inside information we were talking about. It was just theorizing on what we do know. But yeah, just to go back to my point, what I would say is things can change. So, you know, if this Eatsy strike, for example, does kick in, I know they're going back to the table to have discussions again, but let's just say that does kick in. That could delay things, for example. You know, it could delay a lot of stuff in Hollywood, and Obi-Wan could fall victim to that as well. So I wouldn't, you know, go and put £100,000 down on that bookies that Obi-Wan will be released in May. But it sounds, based on the information we're hearing, that seems the most likely scenario at the moment. Does that sound good?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm really... I could see where things could be pushed back, but I believe wholeheartedly the full intent right now is May.
It just makes the most sense. But ultimately, again, it's business, right? So, you know, just think of the business rationale behind having that as being the May show. And I've kind of theorized, and this is, you can disagree or agree with me.
May 4th is a Wednesday too.
It is a Wednesday. That's the thing, you know. And you're just like, and I do know, like, I just don't know. It could be, you know, Obi-Wan releases in May the 4th. I mean, I don't know. I think
they'd love it
to happen. But whether it's ready in time, I don't know. They won't put it out if it's not ready. Put it that way. My guess is, therefore, that we have Book of Boba Fett come December 29th. Mm-hmm. We know it's, 6 episodes long. So, So we kind of know how long. Is it six or eight? Jeez, I'm getting confused with all these now. I think it's six, but I'll get that. Kyle will confirm that on his laptop at the moment. Not laptop, sorry, because he uses a laptop. Excuse me, I just offended you.
Eight, according to Tom's guide, right, as of September 29th.
that'll be right, because as I'm sure we've covered, it's just the state of my adult brain at the moment. So we get that on December 29th. That's going to last for 8 weeks. My guess is the Obi-Wan would then be next up, that we would get a Star Wars break between then and May, and that's when kind of Obi-Wan Kenobi would kick in. I would guess then the next one after that could actually be the Bad Batch season 2. Although, what I would say with the Bad Batch is, I don't think they would be too scared with the Bad Batch of having it cross over into some of the live action stuff, because they know not everyone's going to watch the animated stuff. So it could have a bit of crossover. It'll be much longer, obviously. What was it, 17, 18 episodes this year? So it could be that again. I would guess that would be my guess what it would be. So my guess would then be Andor would be kind of fall time, if you like. That could take us right through to winter. And then maybe December, January 23, that kind of area where we might see Mando season 3. Would you go with that, or would you have a different? I know when I said that online, a few people come out and say, like, readers came back and said, nah, I think it'll be this, that, whatever. So it really is just guesswork. So I'm just asking your opinion.
The only thing I'm curious about is Andor, and I know everyone's talking about what wrapped when, what started when. Mm-hmm. We all know that a lot of these productions, like every production, had some early shooting. We'll have some later shooting, not including reshoots, just additional shooting, as well as everything having reshoots. So while we might see certain things being reported on as official start or official wrap, we know that these shows get worked on till the day, till the week of release.
And really, when you talk about wraps nowadays, you're talking about the main portion of the crew.
I would not be surprised to see Andor in a late summer release versus an early fall.
Do you think it could come before Bad Batch season 2 then, which we know they've been doing voice work for that?
Now, a lot of fans have been kind of debating
where did they do the voice work, but what we've heard, or what I've heard about how they make these Star Wars shows, is that the voice work comes quite early on in the process. It's not necessarily as if they don't film it, animate it all, then get them to come in at the end and do the voices. They do that at an earlier stage and then keep working on the animation a little bit more, from what I've heard. So we don't know how far on it is, but we know it's at the stage of people recording voices for it, because one of the actresses has posted an image of her in a booth recording voices for Bad Batch season 2. So, you know,
I think the idea of it crossing over, bleeding over, is real potential. Whether or not Andor would actually start before right on, or it feels like there's not a lot of space, but it feels like it, because we're used to seeing the other schedule from Marvel, which is just everywhere. So,
and I think we may get there with Star Wars eventually,
But I like your.
We've got four projects.
Yeah,
that are coming out in potentially the year. I mean, I'll call Boba Fett next year, because it's almost next year before it starts. So,
December 29th. Yeah,
Bad Batch season 2, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor. We know they've just started filming Mando, so we can't guarantee it'll hit 2022. My guess is it'll slip into 2023. So that gives us an entire year to place three projects, and one of them's at the very start of the year.
And it's good. I don't care about Bad Batch, sorry guys, but everything else I'm excited to see. Not necessarily think everything's going to land 100%. I'm still scared shitless of Leia being in Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I honestly think that's some people being like, I will not allow live action Luke Skywalker to have the last big OT character moment. I don't know. No, I'm just saying I got this awful feel. I got a bad feeling about this, that Leia's going to use some massive force power or do something amazing. Point, and then someone will erase her memory. I'm telling you, I got a feeling.
Choked the sharks
They've already done it in the fucking sequel trilogy.
Yeah, but they're trying to improve upon that now, Kyle. That's the whole point.
Remember, this is a script that
originally didn't land. And then after various people with real say-so in Disney, that overall
I know.
I guess rewritten said, and everybody, you know, you've heard, you know, that Mike knows more about that story.
Everyone
than tells us.
is rubbing one
everybody
out to this
says
thing.
It
I got it.
Good.
But I have it.
I'm usually Mr. Pessimistic, but I was so pessimistic that my football club would never be bought over. And today they were. It finally happened. So sometimes you've got to remember Shawshank Redemption. Hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things, Kel.
Oh, man. I have that. It just didn't make any sense for her to be in there. And it's just kind of like, why? The other thing that's likely is just to do a nice loving tribute to Carrie Fisher by bringing the character for an adventure, in which case I still say badass young adult teenage spy Leia for Andor, like season two would have been pretty cool as well in that. But
I mean, you never know. It's a role that
could
begin in Obi-Wan and carry into
potentially.
But I think the problem you'd have with Andor is whatever actress she get by the point of Andor, they should be looking more like Leia does in a new role.
I can accept
and
that.
Obi-Wan,
I can
she's
accept
still going
it.
To look like a kid.
A kid.
You know,
yeah.
She's only going to be 10.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I got that. I'm saying I could accept it. Just like I could accept I don't want to necessarily recast Luke, but I could accept it. I prefer the animated thing.
I'm 50-50.
Yeah. I guess the last thing we could kind of talk about is a potential spoil. Well, it is a spoiler. It's a scene description from the
scene description, but I wouldn't call it particularly spoilery.
No, it's I mean, people that are looking for,
depends on your spoiler level.
Yeah, if you don't want to hear about an actiony type scene and what it's gonna, where it'll be at, because really that's it. It's the description of an action scene, a set piece.
Yeah, so it's probably worth saying before we get into this that if somebody wants to go completely clean into Boba Fett and not even know anything about it, but then I would question why those people probably listen to our podcast in the first place, since we discuss rumors so much and little leaks and stuff. But we, to be fair, with story stuff, we're not really into spoiling stories. Mm-hmm. So we tend to, when it comes to the story, it tends to be our own speculation and what we think is going to happen. But yeah, if you really don't want to find out about an action scene in Boba Fett, maybe come back and listen to the rest of the podcast another time.
There's a chapter markers in the description below. You could skip ahead or come back later. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and share
really
the screen. Kidding.
You're all staying on.
Yeah, here we go. We got this description came from Star Wars News Net. Everyone knows who they are. We don't need to go into them. And they said, excuse me, I'm choking here. Hold on, let me check that message. Okay, not important. A reliable source has described a scene from the Book of Boba Fett to us. In the scene, but Boba Fett will be encountering and quite possibly taming or controlling a Rancor. Our source was not completely positive on whether Fett is fighting the beast or controlling it, but Fett is standing on the back of the Rancor's neck and looks like he's riding and controlling it as it tears through a complex or city street on what is likely Tatooine. We consulted with a separate source who confirmed the scene is indeed in this series. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I kind of expected the Rancor to be involved, because you'd think, like,
well,
what's his name's gonna.
It's funny you should say that, because I would never have thought that I had watched The Bad Batch season one.
Oh,
see,
did they do something with that?
So there was an episode where they have to get a Rancor, and it's just a baby Rancor, and the person taking delivery of said Rancor is one Jabba D Hutt on Tatooine, but it's not the one that was killed in Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know that for a fact, and a name, you know, and everything like that. So I wondered if that just meant that Jabba actually had more than, I'm not saying specifically it needs to be that one, but I wonder if it indicated to me at that point that maybe Jabba didn't just have one Rancor kind of thing. But you think, you say, where would he keep any of the other ones? They're kind of big, you know, and he kind of had this big dungeon perfect for it, if you like. So, well,
I just thought, my thinking was that the keeper one would have tried to get another one, because we don't see him die. The keeper, we assume, isn't necessarily on the sail barge. You know, why would the keeper go out to the Sarlacc pit?
Well, I'm going into the EU here, obviously, but this is an EU thing that
I'm ignoring the EU for this.
And he was, you know, because they did tell his story quite well.
Tales of Jabba's Palace,
yeah.
Yep.
Which is, by the way, if you ever, I heard somebody suggested this the other day there, and I wholeheartedly agree. Instead of a what-if show for Star Wars, give us something like that. Tales of Jabba's Palace. Small stories about inconsequential characters and how they got there in the first place.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that all those inconsequential wastes of like 7-8 hours of my life to read a 500-page, you know,
did you not like
novel.
That?
That idea is good for animation. That's what I'm saying. Like all of the novels that they've been doing that don't have any consequences would have been better off as animated shows, because it would have been faster.
Yeah, you're right. So I don't know is the honest answer about why we're going to see, or whether this Rancor will be like that one from The Bad Batch or something like that. I mean, it may never get named. What I would say that I kind of is cool from my point of view is that we've never seen a live action Rancor since 1983, and of course they did the special effects a little bit in the special editions, but there was only so much you could do to that very old model. I'm kind of interested to see a modern special effects version of an adult Rancor.
They're
quite cool monsters.
I'll also say this, and I'll guess this is not the last Rancor we'll see. I expect us to see one for the Acolyte. I expect to see Dathomir on the Acolyte, and if we don't, I'll be highly upset.
And therefore, the Rancor's kind of natural environment.
Yep. So that's one thing I really, really would like to see. If you remember, but back when the Cantina first started, you and I wondered about the idea of like a Star Wars horror set with the Witches of Dathomir, and I still stand by that's one of our best ideas.
And I still stand by that they shouldn't do horror ever in Star Wars, but, you know, we'll agree to disagree.
Bring it! Anyways, I'm like I said, as far as in canon, I was like, man, you know, what if the Keepers stuck around with Bib Fortuna? You know, that we're seeing Star Wars wanting to use a lot of OT stuff these days, and I was like, okay, yeah, I have expected to see Rancor, because it was like, what else are they gonna do? They're not gonna use crate dragons. They're gonna want to have some sort of beast, just like they did in Mando, and Rancor seemed like a good thing on Tatooine that would likely get another one there somehow. I thought it'd be the keeper, but I didn't know about the Jabba thing.
Well, yeah, the Bad Batch connection kind of thing. Yeah, it was not, I would say, the best or worst episode. I didn't really like young Rancors, although that was a bit funky, you know. But to me, the Rancor's not some lovable beast. It's really quite a horrific monster, you know, and it should keep that horrific element to it. That's one thing I would agree.
They really did try to make that monsters. Thing cute.
Yeah. Do you see what I mean? But then that's the animation style, isn't it? Now, if you think about all the monsters, because this is aimed for kids, they all get kind of toned down a little bit. You don't see anything too horrific in the cartoons. They've all got that weird sort of, this is for kids, promise look on them. But obviously when it comes to live action and the Book of Boba Fett's not for kids, I wouldn't say, and therefore, you know, I'm expecting to see a proper Rancor at this point. Well, it sounds like a cool action scene, to me.
Yeah, I'm down with it. I want to see it, of course. Robert Rodriguez is one of the most talented directors out there. Seems like a real legit cool guy.
I'll just put the caveat in there. He's got someone to rein him in at times. Oh.
Yeah.
Because sometimes he goes too far.
Well, I'll say this. The movies may not always be the best thing in the world because of what you're getting at. But the direction, the shots, the action, I think he's always done a good job at capturing that.
Yeah.
And he also seems like to be a legit cool guy. Like I can remember some extras where he's talking about the movie and filmmaking and stuff, but he's making like a sandwich and teaching you how to cook the sandwiches as well. And the fact that he built this movie studio on his property, so he could not just test things out as a filmmaker himself, but so he could make shit with his kids, man. That's how the Shark Boy, Lava Girl, Spy Kids.
Yeah, I know
stuff
he does that stuff. For these kids.
And that's cool, and that carries over into his filmmaking with things like action set pieces. It's like the test footage he did for his episode of Mandalorian. It's like playing with action figures. We all did it, you know.
How many
awesome, you know, fight scenes with action figures that were way more badass than anything in the prequels or sequels could ever imagine have done. And it was there in our hands and in our minds, and he gets to do that with real big action figures.
Yes.
So I'm pretty excited to see that. Yeah, that's all I gotta say on it. I guess that's about it for this week, man. Too slow of a news week, but not the world's most busiest, but we're definitely waiting, and this is not me saying any hints, just waiting for that first Boba Fett footage to drop. Everyone's looking to the Disney Plus day, of course, in November 12th, was it? Something like that? And I think it's going to be fun. It's not necessarily the way that I would have taken it, but I'm not writing for Disney, so we'll see where it actually goes.
And at some point get some footage as well.
How much of an anti-hero versus how much of a good guy are we going to get? And I'll always be a little upset that he's not more villain, but I completely understand and know why. But we'll see.
I'm not sure. I think you might be surprised.
I hope I am. I hope I am.
I still think he's going to be very neutral. And if anything, slip into slight anti-hero. But, you know, grim anti-hero, I would say, in terms of like the man with no name. I've always kind of likened it to, he's an anti-hero, but he's not a nice guy, you know. Nobody can watch those films and say, oh, I really rooted for the hero there, because that's not the type of character he is.
We always bring up Payback as the prime example of of the bad guy that really only has
end up rooting for
one thing. He had a girl that he didn't want her being treated bad, and he wanted to do right and by her, and that was his
future,
that was his only real redeeming moment. But God, you wanted him to kill all the people that were worse than he was.
Yeah, and that's kind of that's what I've got in my head. Boba Fett just killing randomly, like just whacking dudes that are just worse than him. You know, because like, they crossed them.
That I can
and at the end of the day, we'll find out these people are bad dudes. Yeah. And of course, we know with Cad Bane being in it. Mm-hmm. I mean. We know they've got a history with each other, so, you know, and there's a few other
bosses
could show up as well. We know Bosk's going to show up. We still don't know whether he'll be pro-Boba or against Boba, so there's lots of interesting things to see out of this show, and there are rumours Din Djarin will show up at some point in the series as well, so we shall see.
We shall, and everyone else, you guys can see all of that with us by bookmarking and visiting lrmonline.com and genreverse.com every day for all your entertainment news needs and opinions. Check out our Genreverse podcast network wherever you get your podcast from. You're obviously listening to this one on something, and go ahead and follow us there. And if you're not listening, you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe to LRM's YouTube channel, because in addition to all the podcasts and that are available in video with beautiful moving color pictures, it's amazing technology. We have a lot of interviews with celebrities, and I can't, I'm not even going to go through all the names, because this year alone we had De Niro and Damon and oh my
God. Yeah, but you know, the most important one, Kyle, is, and the one that I am jealous about, is the one that Gig published, was it yesterday? He got, Gig got to interview Miss Piggy.
Oh yeah, and Gonzo, that was really cool too. I saw that one.
That was just cool. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, that makes me jealous.
Yeah,
I must admit.
So everyone, please do check all of that out. There's social media information down below. Next podcasts coming up: Daily Cup of Genre, Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, Anime Versal Reviews, Midnight Run. Check all that out. Cam, you got anything you want to say, plug, or throw out there?
No. All good. You've covered it all.
All right, everyone. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.